So our real mission today in Lightly Trained, the big picture, is to have more and more people that are working in the sustainability mindset and working towards building a, you know, working on buildings that exist as well as new construction buildings to make them where they would be something you're proud of for 100 years plus.
This is The Art of Construction with your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith. Devin has built a multi-seven-figure business in the construction industry, selling windows, doors, and hardware over the past 13 years. Devin's passion for helping those around him led him to create the Art of Construction informational platform, a part of which is a fireside chat podcast with industry professionals all focused on how they apply art in their business and construction projects. Grown to an audience of over 100,000, Devin shares his strategies for what he has accomplished and creates insightful conversations with industry leaders. This is The Art of Construction, featuring your host, Devin Tilley, and co-host, Kevin Keith.
All right, Tribe, you've signed in to The Art of Construction. And that's truly what we're going to talk about today, is having an expert that has truly lived the art of construction from the building science or the doctor of construction, if you will.
No, absolutely. It'll be interesting to hear Paul's insights on how to take a look, become more educated about the importance of that to live a more comfortable life in your home and your living space. So,
all right, here we go. Let's have some fun. What's your favorite beverage?
It would be beer. Oh, wait, it's a tie. So beer and also Laphroaig whiskey, or Stranahan's gets a second close hit for me. But I love IPAs. I love stuff made by Odell Brewing. So
What?
I love Odell Brewing. I'm plugging them.
The whiskey.
Oh, Laphroaig.
Laphroaig. Yes. I haven't heard of it. I like whiskey. I get all these new things to go try. You know?
It's a very smoky one. So if you're not quite there yet, that's all good. But it's like, yes, it's a beautiful one if you like smoky, you know, from the Isle of Islay in Scotland. So beautiful stuff.
Great. Awesome. Yeah. Tell us about your favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite place I've traveled is Costa Rica. Place is absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous, and it's also at the same time you see a little bit of the tragic aspects of how palm plantations have taken down a lot of the rainforest, even though they've done an amazing job of protecting there. But you get to see it where it's like all this wildlife, all this amazing diversity, and then suddenly, boom, you're into this rows and rows of palm trees, and you're like, wow, it's like a bigger version of cornfields. And I love farming. I grew up in farming. My dad grew up in farming. I love that, but it's just a strange thing where you go from whoop, all this life to suddenly whoop, a lot less life. And we use palm oil in so many different things. You can see where it comes from there. But it was dolphins and, you know, snorkeling and beautiful, you know, just beautiful weather, beautiful places. So that's probably my favorite right now. Otherwise, just love being in the mountains all the time.
Awesome. And tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena.
So outside of construction arena, it's a close tie again. I'd say it's skiing wins over mountain biking, probably because it's winter right now, but I love both of those. So it's like I moved here in 1995 in great part because I wanted to be here where I could play all the time after working hard during a day or a week, go enjoy the beauty of what we have here. So
I can definitely relate. Moved here in 99 myself. Well, we got to know a little bit about Paul Kreischer. I'm going to start off by reading his bio because we are just honored to have this guy in the studio AOC because he has lived the art of construction in so many different ways. So here we go to tee it up. Paul Kreischer is the principal of Lightly Treading. Paul is certified through BPI as a building analyst professional, envelope professional, and residential building envelope whole house air leakage control installer, as well as through ResNet as a certified rater. Paul has served on the board of the Colorado Renewable Energy Society and on the Habitat for Humanity for Metro Denver's Plan Review Committee and is a founding member of the Energy Efficiency Business Coalition. He has a master's degree of science in energy analysis and policy from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Wow, that's a lot of stuff in one paragraph. Tell the AOC Tribe about Lightly Treading.
So Lightly Treading has been my love since 1997. I started it after working with Habitat for Humanity as a construction manager and a grants manager for them in the mid-1990s. And I started it because there were no engineering firms that were out there working with individual homeowners to be their guide. Well, for home builders as well as homeowners. They were working in some bigger buildings, but had to be like big, big buildings before they actually would look at them. And I said, gosh, I want to work with people who want to connect to make to lower their bills, but also to make sustainability a priority for their properties, because I'd looked at it throughout my life, being involved with things with construction. I was like, okay, what do we build in the society that lasts more than a lifetime? The only thing I could put my finger on was buildings and our homes. So every homeowner, I felt, deserved to have the chance to have someone work with them to get to the right answers as to what would really make their home more sustainable. And to me, that meant, you know, definitely energy efficiency and doing right by the environment, but also meant being more comfortable and having lower energy costs and having a property that you could sell for more money because it's comfortable and it works, you know, instead of one that's like, well, the upstairs bedroom's so darn cold that we, you know, have heating blankets on our bed every night so we don't freeze our butts off. You know, it's just, it was always insane to me. And part of that challenge, you know, part of the problem, I'm sure we'll talk about this more later, but it's just like builders, their financial incentive is to build a property and get it done and get it sold. There's not enough of an incentive for them to build something that keeps working for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 100 years after they built it. So I found homeowners were not getting good advice from various sources because someone would say, oh, you just need a new furnace or, oh, you just need, you know, something new to be sold, as opposed to our approach was being house doctors or building doctors is what we do more of these days, to go in and find the problems, use computer modeling and diagnostic testing to put together a plan that you can work from as your energy efficiency plan. Another thing I've always said is, would anyone start adding on to their home or building without an architectural plan? And I've never had anyone say, yes, I would. I just start digging a hole and kind of randomly put stuff up. Well, energy efficiency and comfort has kind of been done that way, where it's just, oh, we don't need a plan. We just kind of randomly try stuff and see if it works. And after they've spent three times as much money as they needed to, they might get to a solution. So we like to take the shortcut, put together a plan, figure out what you need, and go forward from there. So,
awesome. Well, I can definitely feel your passion. So we're going to have a fun journey today. And you go to your homepage, and the first thing that you read says, energy efficient solutions powered by knowledge and passion. Yeah. And the passion is definitely going to get you through, but right. The knowledge is that key word that you learn by doing through the art of construction.
You're right.
And when I first started, I think back at the beginning when I was, you know, remodeling and flipping houses, you know, in college, and there was zero thought about the knowledge and the sustainability of what we were doing. It was all about getting
burn.
It done. And yep. And I think that's how most of us start when we learn by doing. But I'm going to start by a story, and then we go from here on some case studies. And I really want to hear the full mission of your business. But yesterday I had our electrician come in. We're putting in a new conference room in our Mountain View showroom. And we have two interns that I had them do a lighting project and kind of do the schooling part of the lighting and the chairs and all the stuff of this conference room. And it was fascinating to, I said, okay, guys, this is taking your school theory of environmental design at CU Boulder, and now you're going to present to this electrician that tomorrow he's going to supply us a bid, and he's going to come in and rough in for the electrical and make this whole space work. Cool. And I just stood back and I watched, and it hit me to say, they were so passionate about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to the end when we talk about the mission. Sometimes it's hard to keep that passion. And I saw my Sparky kind of going right into the real world of let's get her done mode. Mm-hmm. And then I let it go and I jumped back and forth of truly the art. These guys were artists talking about, well, we want to have a Bluetooth, you know, light switch, and we want to have this because they use less electricity and this and that. And then the electricity, well, there's another version that's less expensive and easier to do. And then that whole real world experience. So I challenge you, Tribe, to say we have to work smarter, not harder. And we have to utilize technology. I challenge you to go listen to watch his video that Beth, shout out to Beth Klepper, who from the AOC Tribe helped to make a video that talks about him out in the nature where the art of construction all began. So teeing that up with Adam Sinclair giving you kudos, who introduced us to Paul, what is the real mission of what you want to accomplish today on this show and with Lightly Treading.
So our real mission today in Lightly Treading, the big picture, is to have more and more people that are working in the sustainability mindset and working towards building a, you know, working on buildings that exist as well as new construction buildings to make them where they would be something you're proud of for 100 years plus, because it's so comfortable, so low in its energy use, so good in the materials that have been used. Like, you guys had a great podcast on several weeks ago where there's a gentleman talking about the importance of indoor air quality, and I think it was connected to some health issues his wife had and things like that. Well, the people that have those health issues are our canaries in the coal mine. None of us deserve to be breathing in VOCs and things that are have been shortcuts in way, the way building materials have been built to make them just a little bit cheaper, a little bit faster, you know, type of thing. But we've learned over the years how to do things that can be really beautiful in harmony for the people as well as for the planet. And we can do it. The technology is there. And now it's just a matter of having people get into it and profit by it, because there's more money to be made with that, because the buying, the consumer in the front range, the consumer in so many areas around this country and the Western world and even other parts of the world are saying, we want quality, not just cheap. We want quality with that. So that's our big picture. How we go about doing it is we're one cog in the wheel, you know, in doing finding the details for new construction through engineering analysis and load calculations and getting into the nuts and bolts of things. But our driving purpose is that bigger picture perspective.
No, it makes sense. And I think the interesting thing in looking at your video too is that you talk about the financial incentive for builders and building owners to think about the process of having that advantage to their end user. And the thing that is amazing to me is that when you hear this kind of thing, there's a tendency for those that have been in the building business a long time to think that any of this means a lot more money. And you just described the fact that it's about knowledge is really the key, right? So the knowledge allows you to make the choices, which ultimately is what all of us as suppliers of information or materials or building products or buildings themselves or owners of buildings should be thinking about. Because if you don't, then you run into that case like with the interns who, you know, they happen to be the of the millennial age group, but they're all going to be in the buying mode soon. And if you miss the mark in terms of what they're looking for, you're going to end up with a building that was less expensive to build perhaps, but you're not going to be able to sell it because that's what they're looking for. So talk a little bit about how people need to be thinking from a wider lens when it comes to energy.
Yeah. So one of the things that comes to mind as you say all that is that we've worked for years to promote a program that's from the federal government, the Energy Star program.
Right.
And it's an easy program because there's great programs like LEED and for the existing homes, BPI, that, you know, Devin was nice enough to rattle off the certifications I have in that area. But it's just the Energy Star program is so well recognized, and it really should become like the minimum standard. And for some jurisdictions, they've made it a minimum standard. In Boulder County, Fort Collins, places like that, they're saying you got to build to this level or better. And it's really good because people recognize that label. Baby boomers, you know, Gen X, onto millennials, they see it on their computers, they see it on things. Well, it should be proudly displayed on homes and should proudly be displayed on buildings. It is on some, but there's some that they don't know if they're good enough to achieve that in the case of some existing buildings where we spend some of our time these days. But that's one area where it's been a means of helping people be able to see how to see the bigger picture. For builders and developers, you know, there's a bigger opportunity that needs much broader discussion. And that's just something where there needs to be financial reward for people who develop and build buildings that exceed code and hit goals of no more than 3 degrees of temperature difference in any space in a building, which is a standard that actually is an ANSI standard for how to define comfort. Well, you'd have that. You can have indoor air quality standards that come from EPA. You can have energy performance that meets Energy Star all the times. When someone builds that, and it's built that way, they deserve more money than just at the time of closing, is an argument I'd like to make, that there needs to be ongoing financial reward for years afterward to that developer, so it inspires them to keep pushing, keep doing more, keep building for that buyer who's yet to be born who will buy that house or that building 30 years from now, you know, 50 years from now, things like that. So
I'm gonna take us down a journey here where I really want to talk some real world case studies, and I'm gonna turn it over to Kevin, where I know he's gonna talk through our trip with Western Window Systems last week. But to tee that up, I want to say, Trav, we have to look at this in two different platforms, and there's the traditional business model platform, and that platform is all about financial matrix. That is all about a checklist. Did you meet Energy Star? And this is the checks and balance of that, of the ROI for constructors to just get her done. Mm-hmm. But on the art of construction, on the other side, we try to live by the mental model. And the mental model is all about building systems and platforms or orchestrating networks and helping achieve that lifestyle. And in achieving that lifestyle, we want to have the best value. And to have the best value, we still got to look at those financial metrics of ROI to say over time it's going to save money by building above the Energy Star. But at the end of the day, Tribe, it's all about value and who is we're going to help make that house a home. And it's our job that we're leading this. We're the ones that are in charge, because these homeowners, quite frankly, don't know all this stuff, and nor will they ever know all this stuff unless they become one of us. And that's a journey, right?
Right.
And you learn by doing. So, Kevin, tell us a story. We were honored to have the largest trip from Mountain View Window and Door, 53 people, to go to the new Western Window Systems plant, where they're making a whole new line of windows that is for these energy criterias. That's the good of the financial matrix of you have to meet this U factor, but they're also looking much more than just U factor about indoor outdoor living and all this lifestyle stuff. But the building departments are now kind of helping us bridge that gap. Tell us the story about someone on the bus when we're having fun with Western, Kevin.
Well, the interesting thing about Western is that it is an all aluminum product, and unfortunately, one of the negatives, or one of the challenges, I should say, with all aluminum is the energy transfer is greater than what we would like. However, companies like Western are recognizing that, you know, they need to step up their process and their engineering and their research to, you know, to kind of confound Mother Nature when it comes to that. And they've done a great job. They've got this new performance line, which they've implemented a lot of very proprietary and very expensive, you know, systems inside the aluminum to keep that energy from transferring from the outside in and losing energy from the inside out. And, you know, getting to a point where it's performing at a level that's, you know, much, much more energy friendly, and being able to at the same time have those big windows that are being designed, because unfortunately, in some respects, you know, a better energy conserving building would have fewer windows, right? Well, people don't want fewer windows. They want more windows, bring the inside, you know, the outside in, and so on and so forth. And so when you do that, it kind of works against energy. And yet they're doing a superb job, along with, you know, one of their big industry partners, which is Cardinal Glass, who has done an amazing job of using technology to help the glass, you know, perform better from an energy standpoint. So when you put those two together, you know, it's really working well. But it takes that conscious effort to recognize that you can't just throw something to the market. You've got to work with the constraints that are out there. They're bumping into, obviously, a number of jurisdictions like Boulder County and some of the mountain communities where they won't let you, you know, get by with lower numbers, or lower performing numbers. Yeah, because energy, you know, for those that may not be as familiar, the numbers are kind of like a golf score. The lower the numbers, the better. But the bottom line is that it's lower performing energy-wise. And, you know, so to get those better performance levels, they've really had to do a lot of engineering, a lot of testing, and a lot of working through all those details. So, you know, wrapping up with what we saw in our tour of Western, it's evident that they're taking the forward-looking approach to making sure that all the implementation is doing as good as to create an end result as good as you can achieve, you know, with the natural products, and getting there to the point where you can kind of get as close to having it all, you know, good energy conservation with bringing the indoor, bringing the outdoor environment inside, and then also having those large, you know, view spaces for.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, the homeowners we've worked with over the years, and just to give background, our company, we still do a lot of work with homeowners, home builders. We're working more and more with small to medium size and even occasionally large size commercial buildings, all of them need, you know, large window openings. And windows have been the Achilles heel, you know, for years, because our approach, our skill set is that we look at a building as a system, and windows are such an integral part, but air sealing is critical. The types of insulation and how it's installed is critical. The heating, cooling, ventilation systems, critical, lighting, appliances, all of that working together. And that's what we look at. And it has been windows that have still been that area that's been challenged to get it to be optimized. Like to get to net zero that people want to, it's been a challenge without going to the bleeding edge of where windows are and having people bring them in from Poland, and they bring them from Canada, and they bring them from places that are small niche, you know, scenarios to get those to, you know, be optimized and work, you know, as good as possible. But it's beautiful to see how that's improving and the improvements that have been made. You know, I love hearing about what Cardinal Glass is doing on the research side to, you know, to develop the windows for the near future, you know, type of thing, and catch up to where smart technology in so many other ways have been pushing things forward in controls and even with insulation, air sealing practices and the like in buildings. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely not set in stone when you look at glass and all these things, but that's our job here and why we have these kinds of conversations is to say manufacturers and, you know, the front-end manufacturer and the end users, we're all in the middle of that saying they want it at the end. It's us to systemize that and make the approach make sense.
Yeah.
So tell us some other case. Give us a case study from your point of view of kind of something where you came in and lightly treading through the project.
So one that I'll plug is a project that we still work with, but it's an assisted living facility called Mary Crest. You can find out more about it on our website. We've worked with them since 2012, and this is an existing two buildings that we were brought into because the executive director there was able to actually get grant money through the Division of Housing to help make improvements to their property. And they hired us to be their analyst, their building doctor, and then also to help project manage it. Well, they have about a 56,000 square foot one building, if I'm remembering right. The other one's about 28,000 square feet. They house about 130 people there. Some people with, most people elderly, some people with mental disorders that are there, but this is their homes. And when I first went in, they were describing to us how just unbearably cold it was on the ground floor in the wintertime, in particular, how hot it would be in the wintertime or sometimes cold. It varied. Even in the winter, they'd have that. Just the horrible comfort problems they were having. And we got in there and started digging around, and we were finding through the building that was only built in 1998 that there were things that should never have passed code from fire safety perspective to just good quality construction. And the builder at that time, no longer in business, chose to do things where there were chases in the attics that we could have dropped a small child down three floors. And when we're looking at this in this attic space, because when I went up into the attic first with my guys, we were like putting on cool vests, which is just a means of because middle of the summer, we're just putting like ice packs basically on it, you know, on a vest so we stay cooler in an attic if we're up there for a long time. And got up there, I'm like, huh, I don't need this cool vest. What is going on in this building right now? And we get in there and we see one, these big, you know, chases that we could drop people into. So there was cool drifting moving into the attic from there. But, and that should never have been allowed because of the fire spread risk of that. I mean, places like that, they need to be capped off to stop air movement going into an attic from an energy perspective, but also from a fire safety, fire spread perspective. So thank goodness nothing ever happened in those 20-plus years, you know, with that being the case. But it was just, that was scary. But we got in there and we found out, the ductwork for the rooftop units, we didn't need screws back in 1998 to put together ductwork. Duct tape was sufficient, whoever had done the work at that time. And so sections of the ductwork had disconnected. And the cool air coming from the rooftop unit was filling in the attic space, making it really nice for whatever pigeons or whatever else would like to get into the attic space. But it was making it very uncomfortable and obviously wasting a tremendous amount of energy, you know, for them and not delivering it to where it needed to be in the building. So even before we got into diagnostic testing, just by us looking through the building, we were finding huge opportunities. And you know, without beating it up, you know, we found air sealing, insulation, window improvements, lighting and lighting control upgrades, where they've done some really cool things to have smart occupancy sensors in the hallways so they can bring the light level down. And then as people move through the hallways, lights will come on as they move through instead of just having them on 24/7 as they were doing in the spaces there. But rooftop unit upgrades to higher efficiency systems. And, you know, on average, we're saving, they're saving, we help them save on average right now about between $27,000 and low $30,000 a year, and where they were to, you know, prior to that. So the staff there, the executive director there, who just recently retired, she let me know as she was retiring how grateful she was the work we had done with them, because it afforded them bringing on another nurse, a nurse's aide anyway, that they could afford budgetarily because their costs had stayed so low to Xcel Energy and to their natural gas provider that they were putting it back into operational aspects. So we feel great about things like that that we get to be a part of.
That is such a fascinating story when the construction doctor comes into a building that us construction guys seem so obvious that you go up into the attic and there's ductwork disconnected and, you know, the cold is just filling up where it's not supposed to be. But we got to take ourselves, Tribe, and say the people that are using that space, no one ever goes up into the attic. It's kind of like a real doctor going into our body. We don't just go into our bodies. We try to use technology and live smarter and do all those things. But that's so fascinating to just say how much value you created as the construction doctor just going into that. So do you have, are these people in-house for our audience listening, or are you kind of the doctor that now brings in your attic nurse and your, you know, how do you do that?
That's a great question. Yeah, so our approach, our model as a company is we're fairly small. We're building analysts, we're building doctor nerds that are on my staff. And then what we do is we bring in quality air sealing contractors or insulation contractors or window contractors or HVAC guys, and, you know, bring them in to provide the solution. And we get knowledge from those people as well. I mean, those folks are very much the part of Art of Construction that we work with, the ones who are out there every day doing the improvements. They learn things that they share with us that we can then apply when we go look at another building to say, oh, I just learned about another solution that could apply to this property. So we rely on other companies for sure and what they're doing to make the improvements.
So, you know, another thing that struck me when you were mentioning that is that I'd never thought about this aspect of it before. Like, you know, Devin, you mentioned that these people that are living there, they don't go up in the attic. They're not thinking about that. But here's the thing that they do think about. It's not comfortable. It's hot or cold. So what are they doing? They're cranking up the air conditioning or they're cranking up right. the heat, which means that they're losing even more energy to the point right. where not only is it inefficient to begin with, if they didn't touch the dial, so to speak, now they're cranking it in one way or the other, and it's just exponentially making it worse. And in the final analysis, you're able to save them enough money to hire another staff member, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
And what really hits me, Tribe, I hope you're listening to him talk to say you got to find your Paul and lightly treading wherever you're at, because this is truly word-of-mouth conversation and building your tribe, because you could just pay SEO to get your website to the top of Google, but then it's some random person versus a true partnership. Like, he is truly working on being the construction doctor. Sorry, I keep saying that, but it really resonated to me, and I think the tribe will say, hey, I got to find these building analysts instead of saying, oh, man, they're going to be a pain in my neck to make my life harder. They're out there as an advocate for us to work smarter and actually bring the right value to the project. Because there's some jaded, crusty contractor or crusty people out there that would say they're just another bump in the road that some silly report, we're just going to go out and get her done. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be said about that when we look at that, to say the original contractor that went out and just got her done
yep.
didn't obviously think about this stuff, right?
Right.
And didn't
so,
care.
If you can't duck it, blank, 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 that's not how we want to be known, right, in the art right. of construction.
That's beautifully put, because it's like, you know, there's too many. We deal with a lot of new construction projects, a lot of multifamily. We're still working with a fair number of single family properties. The people that we've had the opportunity to work with tell us their callbacks, their repair costs, you know, during their warranty year go down, you know, because they've done things right the first time. So when you're doing new construction or a renovation or remodel, by just taking a little bit more time and having a plan on how it will perform, all the pieces working together as a system, and that's what we take pride in, but there's other people around the country doing this type of work. It's like, they'll help you think it through at that level. You know, okay, this is what it is to meet code. Well, let's look at maybe getting to that no more than 3 degree temperature difference any place in your home or building, and then market it. Say, I give you a comfort guarantee, and you define it and make it very clear for people. Right. People love that in the, you know, in the home side, and I'm seeing it starting to bubble up in the multifamily side and some of the commercial side, but they love that guarantee. But it's taking that planning and putting the things together so then you don't go spend all kinds of money later fixing things that could have been done right the first time.
I'm curious about what are the other things? I mean, temperature is obviously one that would probably strike the top of most people's thought process in terms of energy conservation and comfort, but give us an idea of what the others might be. I mean, you touched on it earlier about air quality. What are the kinds of, what are the list of things that people should have knowledge about to make their home environment more comfortable?
So the easy way for me to answer that for homes, and we'll leave it at that for now because it's more complicated for multifamily and commercial, but for homes, there are great simple programs out there that are no cost. I'm not talking about having to do a LEED project. You know, LEED, I think, is a great cutting the bleeding edge, you know, system. But there's programs that the EPA's had, and why not take advantage of our tax dollars that we've already paid in at work to help us all in this industry to say, okay, there's the Indoor Air Plus program. That's basically, it is a checklist, but it's very, you know, simple things that good quality builders have no problem meeting to guarantee things like, oh, you wouldn't have sewer gas coming up out of the sump pump. You know, something as simple as a sump pump cover, to get into a detail, is something that's sometimes overlooked by even good quality builders. But having a cover on that to make sure you're not getting that rising up into your home that you've made more airtight,
right,
and more comfortable, and then staying in the home and people are like, my God, what is going on? Why does it smell so bad in my house some of the time? You know, it's like those little details like that are great, but there's, the EPA has a water sense program, and in our part of the country, doing things to reduce the amount of water use is really important for all the people that live here, for all future people, you know, living here. For, you know, we're having more increased drought cycles and more challenges for the great reservoir systems we have here. But, you know, that's one. So Indoor Air Plus, Water Sense, you know, the Energy Star certification on the home for the energy efficiency side. Super simple and super good with that. You know, those, and then a comfort guarantee, which is outside of any current program, but we help people define that. It's really easy. It's like with technologies that we have now with wireless thermostatic control and zoning of even forced air heating systems, it's easily done. It's not like rocket science. And then you can guarantee it for people that you've got that. So those are the four that we focus on most with homeowners. Some homeowners want to dig deeper and make sure that they're doing really good choices as far as their building materials. And the Indoor Air Plus program does have standards as far as, you know, low VOC to no VOC building materials for adhesives and for carpet underlayment and materials like that. But they are, it's already out there. It's just a matter of using it and then marketing it. I mean, there's so many builders, I guess, or too many builders still are like, I can sell them as fast as I can build them, so I'm not going to push beyond the code. Yeah. But
well, I think that's such an important, you know, we got to get over the F word of fear. Like, mm-hmm. we're fearful of saying if we put a marketing package about this, a package around this, then we're going to have to answer all these questions. But come on, let's get over that and say, yeah, this stuff is not that hard. We have to elevate and delegate to a lightly treading and build this partnership. But that's really, right, I think, our call to action when we say we have to have some kind of reward for our builders. But you also have to look yourself in the mirror and say, what are you really doing this for? Like, what is it for you? As well as we got to challenge back to say, are the programs from the government and energy and all that stuff the right program? Because it's moving fast in this digital smart home age.
Well, and you touched on one thing that I think is really important for people to be aware of, particularly the end consumer, and that is that the sustainable products that are out there have really evolved in a way where they're not any more costly.
Right.
And it's a function maybe of just being aware of that, asking for it, checking for it to make sure that's included, because really in the last almost 20 years, that whole industry has grown in a very pleasantly surprising way to where it's, you know, initially when that was talked about, everybody thought, oh, great, now this is going to kill the building industry because it's going to be so expensive. And reality was everybody embraced it. everybody kind of got into it in every manufacturing capacity, and now you have low VOCs and all these things that who knew what low VOCs were 20, right. 30 years ago? Nobody.
It's really
beyond the technical people, right?
Exactly. It's beautifully said. It's just like we saw computers, decades ago go from things that cost more than a car to where now they fit in our pocket and cost next to nothing. We've seen that migration in the industry with solar. I was working on solar PV and solar water heating projects when we started 20 years ago. Solar PV projects, the only place it was affordable was we were working with people building off-grid homes like near St. Mary's Glacier and places in the mountains and things like that, where it's like, it's a mile away from the power line. It's going to cost you $30,000 to hook up power, so let's do solar with some batteries on it. That transformed from being so expensive to where now it's amazingly affordable. And, so many builders, thank goodness, have been partnering with solar PV companies to put it on, on their properties. And we're seeing more of that happening in multifamily in little ways. We're seeing some of it happening in commercial buildings, but that's still the area where that has to tip yet, where people are like, I'd rather pay myself back and do something good for the environment instead of continuing to pay the utility company so much money.
No, exactly.
Well, you definitely set the stage for value on really looking at all these things. I'm curious, how did you come up with the name Lightly Treading?
Thank you. That's a great question. It was something I was thinking about the company. I was working at Habitat for Humanity at the time. I actually came across a speech that I'd read, and I'd heard it before, that Chief Seattle was written by, an English journalist who was trying to translate Chief Seattle's speech back in 1854. Just trying to tell us, he was watching some of the lesser good elements of white settlers. They're moving him and his people off of their property to a reservation. Can't make you happy, But he was still, the way it was interpreted, very humble and very, seemed to be very heart-centered and trying to just share and say, hey, I see how you guys think every resource here is endless. Well, we've lived here for tens of thousands of years, maybe just thousands of years. We lived here a very long time. We've learned to take what we need, give back what we can, and work in harmony. And yes, it could have been a bit of a guilt trip interpretation as far as I'd read what he was saying, but it was more of just saying we've learned to work with it and find a way to tread lightly. And I wanted the company actually to be treading lightly instead of lightly treading, but there was actually a paper company down in Telluride that had already taken that name when I was looking to register here in the state. So I just inverted the name and put it back that way. But it was I was inspired by that, but I also wanted to communicate to people that you don't have to live in, to be energy efficient or resource efficient, you don't have to live like in the dark and wear 12 sweaters and be uncomfortable. It was about finding the right balance of what you really value and what you need, and then using what you need and doing it really smartly, and then letting the next person have what they need, type of thing, leaving a little bit more of the resource for future people, type of thing.
Awesome. Well, to bring us home, I know you're passionate in reading up on your company about carbon dividends.
Yeah.
What's that? And tell our listening audience about that.
Thank you, Devin. Yeah, I'll plug that. That's a big picture, item. It's really at either a state legislative or more importantly or more likely needing to be a national legislative initiative. People may have heard of carbon taxes before. Taxes, no one wants to ever hear about a tax. Never pleasant. I don't want to hear about a tax. We don't want to have that. But what a carbon dividend is a means to try and quantify the pollution that we put up into the atmosphere by burning fossil fuels. And the idea comes beautifully from both progressives and conservatives right now. There's a conservative group that a year and a half ago came out with a great version of a carbon dividend plan. It was actually spearheaded by the former Secretary of Treasury and Secretary of State, James Baker, under the Reagan administration, and George Shultz, who was from the Reagan administration as well. They are advocating for the idea of saying, let's put the right amount of fee on the fossil fuel extraction companies, and they'll pass that cost on to all of us, which sounds unpleasant, right? Like, our gasoline prices will go up, and price for lighting and our heating of our homes and buildings is going to go up. Well, thankfully, they said, no, we can do something creative with this, that the fees that come from that would come back as a dividend payment to every person who has a Social Security number in the United States. So kids would get it, as well as adults. Every quarter is the way they have it laid out. That would pay you back. And the Department of Treasury's study looks to, well, found 90, more than 90%, like 92% of people would get back more money than they'd be paying for the increased cost of gasoline or the increased cost of heating their homes, but would also send a message. You know, that's beautiful because we don't want, especially many of us who, working people, it's like, hey, man, if you're going to hit me in my pocketbook with, you know, the increased cost, this is painful. Well, if you get money back to offset that, thank you, you've made that pain go away. But you're leaving the message that, oh, we're polluting the atmosphere and there's a cost to it. So look at making your home or building more energy efficient and save yourself some more on that cost. Look to have a more fuel-efficient vehicle to be driving that saves on that impact and does a lot of things that, to me, are a beautiful silver bullet, if there is such a thing, to give communication to all of us that, hey, there's a cost of doing this. We've been polluting the atmosphere for 160 years. Let's just put it into the marketplace. Let's quantify what that is and give feedback to all of us so we know, eh, that's not such a good thing. Let's try and do things a little differently.
Firm but fair and real on both sides.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, yeah. So write your congressman or senator on that one, or talk to your state congressman.
Well, people. We've given the listening audience so many different things. Wendy and Des and the tribe work so hard on grading, making great show notes. So we'll document all this stuff and have a great resource to go back and check out all these great things we touched on. But as a learning organization here on the Art of Construction, if there's one thing you want the world of the Art of Construction to hear, what is that one thing to help them lightly tread or tread lightly to help them grow their business?
Wow, I like that. Making me boil that down to one thing. I would say, you know, work with companies like ours. There's lots of us out there to help build buildings for future generations and make more money for yourself in the same at the same time.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank you.
Definitely a lot of call to actions here for things for us to digest and really help understand the value of our business and our clients to really make a house a home and live the best lifestyle.
Well, and, you know, listening to his case study of the experience in that building he was talking about where, you know, you got an assisted living facility where the comfort level is terrible. Everybody's not enjoying the space, and you go into the attic and you find out, well, here's the reason why, you know, and you go up on the roof and you find out that they didn't screw the ductwork into the equipment and so on. It's just amazing. Like we always talk about, that one common denominator is get it right on paper first, right? So, you know, think about employing somebody like Paul and lightly treading into your education process early on to, you know, to be able to understand and learn more about the end result instead of waiting to the end and finding out that you got to start all over. It's a lot more expensive doing it that way.
Real world stuff here, you know. We're talking the theories, but if you can't duck it, blank, 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 that's not how we want to live the Art of Construction. It's not that much hard. Do it right the first time. And if you're always talking about begin with the end in mind, just put the right screw in the right place and then the manufacturer that designed it that way, it'll live through the life expectancy.
Well, and with all the parts and pieces involved in construction, it's helpful to have somebody like Lightly Treading that's going to be the glue to not only provide you the education, but to make sure that it ultimately is put together the way it was intended.
We're all human. We've all done it. And the old saying that I'm always saying is don't expect what you don't inspect. So there's the inspector from the building department, but then there's the lightly treading that's going to come in and really help pull it all together in a professional manner. So you definitely want to find, this is definitely one of those tools in your toolbox we all need to have, is you got to have, you know, a lightly treading company in your back pocket.
Well, and it's very important also to think about that building inspector. We all can make, as novices, make the assumption or the incorrect assumption many times that the building inspector is going to catch all these things. And the reality is, you know, they're maybe underpaid and overworked and on a task, and so they do what they can. But somebody like, you know, lightly treading in Paul's group with the passion for the end result is going to get you a lot further along than relying on a simple inspecting process.
Awesome. Well, great job, Paul. We're big fans of you here at the Art of Construction. Hopefully this is a great platform for you to take the building science and what you're doing, which is so needed in our marketplace, to pull this stuff together and work smarter, not harder, to truly make the best building project for our lifestyle and our tribe. Hey, tribe, I'm so passionate about this tribe that we're building and just want to say thanks for listening. And as the Go-Giver, maybe you can give me something back. If you liked what you heard today, do us a favor and head over to iTunes and give us a review. It's really how the podcasting world grows their business. And that's what we're all about here. This helps to get the podcast in front of people looking to grow their business. We want to hear what you want more of. This is for you, contractors and architects, to grow your business. Talk to you on the next one, Tribe.